peut-être au moins. It's important to, when the scripture talks about in verse 14, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And I like that, the only begotten of the Father, the only begotten of the Father. Underline the only begotten of the Father, as of the only begotten of the Father. And I'm just seeing it just now. I didn't even see this before we started. But you're going to have to function, and you got to find out what's wrong with you, all right, and what's wrong with your machine. You know, if any of you were driving a car here tonight and it didn't quite get here, or didn't get to where it's supposed to do, or wasn't doing what it's supposed to do, the first thing you're going to do is take it to the shop or take it to somebody who knows what's going on to find out why it's not functioning like it should. Whatever it is, I don't care if it's a car, I don't care if it's a computer, I don't care if it's your phone. As soon as your phone starts messing up, I take my phone, go into the Apple store. As soon as something messes up, you're going to take it to find out why it is not functioning like it is supposed to function, like it was designed to function. And at times, you need to look at life. Matter of fact, on the regular, you need to look at your life and find out if it is functioning like it should, and if it's not, why. What is going on with my production system? What is going on with who I am if I'm not being everything that the word says that I am? If I'm not getting those results, then something is clogging the pipes up. If I'm not producing like I know I should be producing, I got to consider my ways. So you got to ask yourself, what's wrong with you? Ask yourself, what's wrong? What is wrong with you to the point to where, what's going on with you to the point to where you're not producing? Everybody want to produce more, amen. Everybody know there should be more going on, right? So what is the problem? Where is the disconnect? Where is the short in the wire? You ever had to plug in your phone, but you had a short in your wire? You ever plug in your phone, but you had a short in your wire? You thought you was charged up the next morning? It's the worst feeling ever, huh? And now for the rest of the day, you struggling, trying to figure out what you're going to do with this 15%. Right? Y'all know the feeling, right? Right? But it's only because, it's not because it wasn't a wire and it wasn't plugged up, but there's a short somewhere. You ever short your wire and then your phone on vibrate. Come on, y'all know me, right? Right? Don't life feel like that sometimes? I'm off. Fire, cold, hot. I don't know the Lord. Right? I'm anointed. I'm fearful. What's going on? There's some double-mindedness somewhere.
Yes, sir.
The Bible talks about being double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in how many? How many ways? It don't pick the things that they think he's double-minded in. If you double-minded at all, you double-minded, you're unstable in everything. Then it goes on to talk about you. The real problem is you forgot who you are. You be like one beholding yourself in the glass. You look yourself in the mirror. Anybody look yourself in the mirror before you came?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Some of y'all went in between class, look yourself in the mirror to make sure everything was together, huh? Then you come back in here and they're like, I don't even know what I look like no more. Show you a picture and you can't even point yourself out. Double-mindedness. What have you been looking at? In the Bible talks about looking into the perfect law of liberty. And so it's imperative the only begotten of the Father. You are only begotten of the Father. Mm-hmm. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. Now I got to get somewhere else. But that jump just now, when I went to that scripture, we've been reading it, ain't we?
Yes, sir.
I'm literally just now, this is how it works. Literally just now, when I read this scripture, it jumped. The only begotten of the Father. We saw in the Word made flesh, dwelt among us, and beheld his glory, right? Right? He dwelt among us and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And I wasn't just looking at Jesus just then, I was looking at me. Because I'm only begotten of the Father. Where else did you come from? I know your mama and your dad, and nobody ain't worried about where they came from. Who gave them the power to make you anyway? You get it? We are only begotten of Come on, say, I am
only
begotten
of the Father.
Say, I only
come
from the Father.
I ain't
nowhere else. I came from the Father. The way that they recognized, the way that they beheld his glory, because he functioned as the only begotten of the Father. Now, see, many times you see this, living by the book. When you study, what you focus on expands. And if you study his word, it opens up to you. You begin to see things inside the cracks. There's no way, oh, Lord Jesus. this Bible, right? Oh, you know. The Bible been here for a long time. The devil know it from the front to back. Huh? What advantage you got? If don't nothing open up and show you something else that ain't in there, then what advantage you got? If don't nothing open up and show you something deeper, then what advantage do you have? If this is a map, and this is basic instruction, you know we talked about it last week, right? And if that's all this is, then he got the game plan. He got the playbook. If ain't nothing else going to be showed to you deeper in there than just what's on the text, then he got the playbook. So we got to go deeper. Everybody say we got to go deeper. Come on, say it again. We got to go deeper. Listen to me. When you focus on this word, what it does is it opens up and it begins to show you who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. This is the whole point. You are Christ. Oh, no, say it. Oh, no. Don't punk out. Don't punk out. Ain't no time to punk out. Don't punk out. No more. No, you, I am Christ. Say it.
I am Christ.
Because you are. What's Christ defined as? The anointed one. And his anointed. The people get scared of this. Jesus said, you are God's. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Well, you got nervous. Well, you know you ain't almighty God.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
You already know because you walked in here. You know you wasn't right. Almighty. Hold on. The anointed one and his anointing. Are y'all with it?
Yes, sir.
If I am the anointed one, Christ, right? Mm-hmm. Then if I'm anointed, that means somebody had to anoint me.
Right.
So we already clear about that. Can we breathe? Come on. Calm down. Get over that. They can make you scared in church. Most of the stuff we do in church is out of fear.
Right. Yeah.
Right. That's the truth.
Yeah.
Most of our prayers, our worship, all this stuff is out of fear. Uh-huh. We scared God gonna be mad at us if we don't say nothing. Stop being so scary. God don't have a self-esteem issue. They're talking about, you better give me all the glory. He know he got the glory. You give him glory for you. Your worship in church is for you, not him. It is imperative that you realize who Christ is in you and who you are in Christ. This whole thing is about that.
Yes, sir.
The word being made flesh and dwelling among us is to give us an example of who we really are.
Yes, sir.
John 5:39, we've been going over that over and over and over and over again. I found out something. I hadn't taught this scripture yet in this class, right? John 5:39, we'll go there in a minute. But I hadn't taught the scriptures yet, but I taught a lot in the Living by Book before this, but God gave me revelation and it's just clarity is there. You know, we used to go to Joshua 1:8. Anybody know what Joshua 1:8 says? Anybody? Come on, quote it then. Yes, sir. Come on, quote it. Come on. No. Come on. Like some nice little quiz. Come on. I should meditate day and night. Right? Don't stop right there. Don't stop now. Success. This book lost not the part of the mind, but thou shalt meditate in day and night. Right? If thou mayest observe, do all that is written in, for then thou mayest always prosper. Then have good success. Right? You ready? All right? This book of the law. That's in what? Joshua, right? That's way before we get to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's way before we got to being sons of God, right? And we use that scripture a lot of times to tell us how to meditate. I got to do a little history lesson, all right, real quick. The law, and here's where we fall short. From the beginning of time And from the beginning of all, we talk about the mess up and eating from the tree and all that, until Moses, there was no regulation on man. You go do your reading and you realize there was no rules. The law didn't come till the Ten Commandments came. So from that time until then, there were no rules. And we know it's foolishness because they was killing each other. Cain killed Abel. The Cain grandson said, kill a man, and said, well, surely you're going to forgive me too. It's going wild. Everything going haywire. So there's no regulation, no rules, nothing until the Ten Commandments. Moses come out the mouth with the Ten Commandments, and thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Now man has something to live by, have some kind of guidelines, have some way to live to protect themselves from themselves, because they don't know themselves. If you really knew who you were, then you know who I am. And you couldn't kill me. You couldn't set your mind to kill me, because that'll be killing you. See, we around here thinking that we disconnected. We around here thinking that your life ain't got nothing to do with my life. And Jesus is always connecting us the whole time. You know, even the word individual means you can't be divided. Are y'all with me? So now, from then until then, we had to save ourselves. He was trying to get us to save ourselves from ourselves, because we didn't know ourselves. You should know the truth. The truth make you free. So we were bound. You know, your religion, the word religion. You look up the etymology, and you just do it sometimes. Google it. Just look up the etymology. Etymology. Etymology of a word, and it tells you where them words originally come from. The Latin, and the Latin word religion comes from another word, a religare. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but it means to bind. Oh, yeah. Means to bind, means bound. And it meant, then you go a little further, it says to bind you to a set of vows. Okay, but, and that's cool. That's cool to an extent, right? But if I'm bound, then I'm not. All right, so I'm going to go a little history. I got to do it, okay? I got to do it. So from then until then, we get the commandments. And now we've made a stride as mankind, because we're no longer walking out here without any rules, right? Just like you drove here with lines on the road to show you what side of the road, and the light go red, you stop, green, go yellow, speed up through it. No, I'm just playing. Yellow, yep, supposed to slow down, right. Then I go, have you ever went on a road that was construction?
Yes.
And it didn't have no lines?
Yes.
That's tough. You have to kind of figure out where you're at on the road, and kind of then the car comes, you got to make sure you get over, because there's really no guidelines. So guidelines are not a bad thing. Law is not a bad thing. Law is what protects you every day. Law is the reason people ain't busting in your house later on tonight. Law is the reason. Law and regulation and rule and judgment. All right, so that's fine. We got that, right? We're good with that, all right? So now we got the commandments. Are y'all with me? But see, the problem with the commandments and the problem with the law, and two problems with the law. All right, I'm going to help you find yourself a minute, all right? And this is living by the book, because some of y'all read the book like the law. We still looking for how we supposed to act. Y'all not hearing me. Y'all still reading the Bible to find out how you're supposed to act. Two problems with the law. First of all, somewhere between the commandments and Jesus, we got a buku of the laws. You know buku mean, right? A lot of the laws. People online might not even know what's going on. There's a bunch of other ones. We don't know where they come from. Traditions of men that made the word of God. None effect, all right? So now somewhere between that, we got a bunch of them. We don't really know. We probably go do some history and find out. But it's come from all over the place. All these different things now. And you can't do nothing. See, there's two problems with the law. And both of them have something to do with us as mankind. Number one, it was very judgmental and condemning. That's why they call it, that's why in Romans he calls it the law of sin and death. Mm-hmm. That means it was a law about sin and about the death that you're going to receive for being in sin.
Right.
All right. It was very condemning and very judging. Now, I'm not saying judgment is bad or condemnation bad, because some people are condemned to prison right now for doing things they shouldn't do. If there's nothing over their head sometimes, people won't act right. I get it, right? I understand the law of the land, right? I understand the judges and all that stuff, right? I get that, all right? But at that time, it was very judgmental and condemning, so you really couldn't make any mistakes. I mean, even the way it was written. How the commandments go? Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not kill. So all I'm hearing is killing that. The subject of that statement is kill.
Right.
I don't care if you told me not to. Come on, you little kid. Remember you little kid? Don't touch that fire. Don't touch that fire. It's going to burn you. Okay, but it's pretty and it's blue. Don't touch that fire. Don't touch that fire. Well, the more time they said don't touch that fire, I have faith for fire.
Right.
Come on, y'all. Come on. I'll tell your principal. I'll give your principal and help you out with how your mind functions. You know, stop saying you don't want. I don't want to be broke. That's stupid. Say I'm rich. Listen, because a lot of times your mind, your subconscious, your heart don't decipher between negative or positive. That's why, oh God, Jesus, that's why the tree of knowledge of good and evil was a trick. You thought you was learning something. You thought because you could say no and yeah that you had something. Are y'all, is that cool with y'all? Y'all understand? That's not, we good, right? All right, so your mind many times won't compute that not. So it leads me to my second thing, that not only was it judgmental and condemning, right, and binding, right, but you couldn't even do it. You couldn't even fulfill it. You couldn't even fulfill the law. I'll prove it to you. Come on, Obadiah, Nahum. What them little books in the Bible that we don't get no text out of? We don't never preach out of. Come on, hold up. Where my Bible at? Oh, no. We go to Lamentations sometime, but you know you got the little ones. You get real quick and it's Nahum and come on, y'all know them. They go through there and like we just skip through the old little one. Yeah, like I don't even know how to say that one, so I'm not gonna read that one. We just come on, y'all know them. Come on, Zephaniah, Obadiah, Amos, we go Jonah, all we know about Jonah in the well. We don't know nothing else. Michael, right. And I noticed in the beginning of a lot of those chapters, it says, I'm about to hit y'all with another. The word of the Lord came to the prophet and came to get the children of Israel together because they couldn't uphold the law. And they went off in idolatry and disobedience. And now they needed to come back. I'm a time out. You want a side one?
Yes.
One of the greatest lies in the church that we need revival. Ooh, that one hurt, don't it? Listen. Oh, God, Jesus. Revival is an Old Testament concept. All right. If Jesus is alive, how do you revive?
Wow. That's good. Fresh. That's fresh. That's fresh. That's fresh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. If Jesus is alive, how do you revive what's alive?
Wow.
Okay, y'all get it? All right, come on. All right, don't y'all throw no rocks at me. Don't go tell, all right, y'all ready? Are y'all ready? Revival is an Old Testament concept. Revival comes from a place when these people left God and went to another place and they begin to die. And everything they was dying because they were disconnected from the life source at that time. God was still in them, but their minds disconnected, so I had to come back around and get revived. Revival. So now these so, but they couldn't. You needed revival because you couldn't keep the law. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
I know we have revival, so that's not where I'm at. But y'all understand where I'm at, all right? So we couldn't keep the law. And so from then, even though it was there, it kept on telling you what you're not to do, and so you kept on getting faith to do. You kept on getting faith to kill and the steal and the adult. You kept on having faith for those things because it just told me what I shouldn't do and never told me what I could do.
Yeah. Right.
It never, the commandments never told me who I am. The law never told me who I am. So now here I am, walking around trying to accomplish something that I don't even know I'm able to do.
Right.
I don't even know who I am. This is one of our number one problems. We've been trying to do so much and we don't know who we are. All right, so y'all with me now? So we instead of law, right? So now from then, I'm going to teach you this Bible. I'm going to teach you what this Bible is talking about. And I'm going to tell you what it's really talking about. I hope it sparks up in you after we finish tonight to where you just don't, you want to read so much you can't put it down. It ain't quite there yet because you put it down. Hey, man, I ain't judging you. and honest is where we are. It's the level of where we are, level of faith where we are. Amen?
Amen.
So now we're going from all the way there to Jesus. And so then Jesus shows up, right? And Jesus get to talking and saying stuff like, "You're looking for the Father, look at me." And Jesus starts saying stuff like, "I'm the way, truth, and the life. Ain't none of y'all coming to the Father but by me." You know, if I come in here and say something like that to y'all gonna be like, we hindsight Christians. Because we can read the gospel and everything. We're like, "I would have believed them." No, you wouldn't have. You'd have been with them doggone church people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You'd have picked your side and you'd have been like, "Crucify him." As I be sometimes when you say some stuff that's reckless like that, like revival, ain't no revival, just not. Sit him down. Now Jesus come up, open up their book. Because there wasn't no Holy Bible at that time. It was the book of the law.
Right.
You got to realize Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the account of Jesus, right?
Right.
And that begins the New Testament. So before that, whatever they was reading was law.
Right.
All his Old Testament was law. They still killing animals.
Right.
They still doing what you thought the Passover was.
Right.
But Jesus opened up their book and turned and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." And he went down the whole list and he said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your eyes." Closed the book and sat down. How you feel? How you feel when I said today, you looking at me? Today, this fulfilled before your eyes. Jesus was a bold brother, right? And the way that he was saying things, the things that he was saying, was so identifying as the only begotten of the Father. You knew he was the Son of God because the way he spoke. But he said, "If you don't believe me for my word, believe me for my work's sake." Like, if you don't like what I'm saying, just realize that when I said I was going to do it, I did it.
Right.
When I said I was going to open the blind eyes, I did it.
Right.
When I said I was going to preach the gospel to the poor, I did it. And I didn't just preach a word. When I said to preach, I didn't just proclaim a word, but I gave them something. Y'all understand him?
Yes, sir.
So now he's the Son of God. He's functioning as the Son of God. So now here's Jesus from day one of Jesus, right? Up until now, he's been telling us who we are. We used to get excited about Easter and about the third day he rose again, right? On the third day, y'all know how we get all, yeah, you get a shaking, goosebumps on y'all, and we get all excited about, no. From day one, it was showing me who I was. From day one, he was telling me that I'm the Christ. You are too, Peter. Remember that? You are too, Peter. This is what I'm trying to tell you. It all is lining up to showing you that you are Christ.
Right. Yes, sir. That's right, sir.
Now, still shake you up a little bit. And still make you a little nervous because you thought Jesus was Superman.
Right.
Y'all know y'all did.
Right.
You thought you were separate from God.
Right.
You thought you were, you know, you read the scriptures, join hands with Christ, and you say amen in church, but you ain't believe it. Because you kept on praying for Jesus to do something.
Right. Come on.
Ooh. You still was praying. Jesus, he said, you say what you do. You say with your mouth, you speak his mouth and say with your mouth, "Be thou removed, be thou cast to sea. And shall not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you're going to have whatever you said." Would you stop trying to call me when I'm in you? It's a great trick. The devil has pulled the best hat trick there is. He's pulled the best trick in the history of mankind. He's pulled the best because he's been reading your Bible. Watch this. And he know you don't. He know you're not gonna go. He know the majority of y'all not gonna go no deeper. Why? The moment that Jesus got, I just saw this walking in. The moment that Jesus got baptized, we're gonna deal with the Son of God in a minute. The moment that Jesus got baptized, right? He come up out the water and he get led into the wilderness to be tempted, right? And the first thing the devil said, "If you be the Son of God, make this some bread, because he knew he was hungry.
Yeah.
Fast, right?
Yeah.
You be the son of God, make this bread. He kept on asking if you the son of God. But Jesus ain't never answered him and said, I'm the son of, this is how we be. Yeah. I'm the son of God. I got, no, shut up.
Right.
Jesus ain't never said nothing about, no, he started hitting them with what the word of God said and what God was saying to say. And started hitting them with the end. You know, ego make you manifest bread because you're trying to prove something to somebody. Don't get ahead of yourself, Montreal. Everything that Jesus was doing was to prove to you who you were. You were never separated from God. We learned that when we ate from the tree, we were separated from God. Didn't we learn that?
Yes,
which it don't say it in the scripture, but we just picked that up.
Yes,
and somebody said it, and so we ran with it for the last 150, 200, 3,000, whatever years, and we just running with it. But that's not what happened. How do you separate from your being? You can't. But there's a separation in your mind. Listen. If you think you're separate, as he thinketh in his heart. This is scripture. I'm giving you all scripture, right? We're quoting all scripture. Amen, right? So my soul ain't grabbing on us guys. All scripture, right? As he thinketh in his heart. So is he. So if I think that I'm separated, or I think that's something, but that's not me, then I never get that. But what did he mean when he said, the works that I do, shall you do also in greater works than these, because I go unto the Father. What, come on, stop. I'll wait. I'll really wait for the deep revelation. What did he mean? Give me something. He said it real plain. Give me something that he meant differently. You ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing. He said it real plain. He said, the works that I do, shall you do also. Let's stop and breathe on that one for a minute. Now, I'm going to give you another one. You ready? That's in the end of that scripture I got in the last class. He said, and greater works. So you do, right? I didn't get that. I'm like, how am I going to do a greater work than what you did? Right? He said, because I go unto the Father. Now break this down. Now, we read a religious text interpretation, so we don't realize what's going on. So we thought that because he was going with the Father, it empowered us to do the work. Y'all want me to stop? I'll stop and go back. I'll go back and read. We go back and we go read some other scriptures. Y'all want me to stop because I ain't. All right. Here we go. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Text interpretation, right? Just tone, right? The works that I do shall you do also. You ready? I'm gonna say it like I heard it. You ready? The works that I do shall you do also. So that's enough, right? That'll blow your mind. And we don't take that one up enough, right? But then he said, and greater works you gonna do. And you know, we try to rationalize the way it's because it's more of us. No. He was just saying, and he wasn't even talking. He was just living a message that went for everybody, but he was talking to them jokers that were with him right there. He said, y'all going to do greater works than me because I'm going to the Father. All right, watch this. It's a basic example. You ready? Because you still don't get it right quick, all right? In this room right now, right? We're going to be in this room, right? This is where we at, this room, right? Now, we're going to build toy trucks. All right, no, I know we ain't got nothing, but use your imagination. We're going to build, we got unlimited supply to keep building trucks forever, right? So we're going to build trucks. So we sit down, we get the building trucks. Come on, use your hand. Come on, we're building trucks, all right? And I might make about 1,000 of them, you know what I'm saying? Boom, my power might be a little bigger than yours, right? It might be cool. But then I say, listen, hold on, chill out, hold on, watch this. Listen. Y'all going to make more trucks than me. Just keep making trucks. Y'all gonna make more trucks than me because I'm about to leave. So listen,
yo,
the pile that I made, you can make that same pile and a bigger pile because I'm out. It's only because I'm going to the, he was saying, y'all gonna be here longer than me, so do more work here than me. Are y'all getting that? We got to read the Bible. We got to understand. Ask the Holy Spirit to open that thing up to you. If you focus on it, it begins to expand and open up. You start to see in between the letters. And you see you.
Yeah.
You start to find out. See, you can't function as the church. Say, I am church.
I am church.
You get it? I am church. See, I am church. It's not the church building all this stuff like that. It's not the institution, all the rules and regulations. And God bless those. But you know something? Let me tell you something about laws and regulations and rules. God bless the lines on the road. God bless the red light. But have you ever pulled up to the light? I pulled up to the light one time coming right this way. And I was going straight through on 22. I wasn't turning on 44. I was going straight through. And I'm at the light. And, you know, the light turns green. It's my turn to go, huh? But, you know, instead of me just going, I learned this in driving, that I have to be a good driver. I can't leave it up to the laws and the rules and the regulations. Are y'all with me? So there are some things that I got to keep my eyes open to function inside the law. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Right? And if I'm not watching one day, and this is what literally happened, if I'm not watching, and if I just drive off without paying attention and without being an observer, car come flying through. Yow! He broke the law. He done went the wrong way. But see, if I pull out and I get hit and I expire, I'm gone. Who we gonna blame? Because I wasn't functioning as a seer. I wasn't paying attention. I was relying on the law, right? And not being nothing. Are y'all understanding something? For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. It's Romans 8. God sent his son in the likeness of the same sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Showing you the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Where? Life in where? Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's telling you that you're operating under another law because you're another person. If you just think you're Marvin, you're tripping. If you think that's the end of you, you tripping. You need to get up. You don't need to get no sleep. You need to stay up till you realize who you are. We've been sleeping too long. Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Everything that this word of God is talking about is telling you about you. Everything. Everything that Jesus said was about you. Telling you that you, why would he say, ye abide in me and my words abide in you. Ask what you will. Ask what you will. Well, why would he give you the permission to ask what you will? Because you abide in me and I'm in you, so I know you're going to ask the will. Most of our prayers are scattered wishes. And we asking for a bunch of stuff that ain't the will. The only reason you, the only way that you can ask for something that's not the will is because you don't know the will. If you ever know the will, yeah, that's going to be it. The will consumes you. I found out something about myself, I found out something about myself. And the more I started seeing Jesus, the more I started seeing me. And then I didn't see any difference between me and him. And then it consumed me. It consumes me at this particular moment. And the more I look, the deeper I go. And the more I look at Jesus, the deeper I see myself. Because see, all these things that we deal with, amen. All these things that we deal with are only because any confusion comes on. Only any confusion or non-unity comes on the outside of Jesus. Because the Bible says, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, until a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Son of God. Until we come to that, until we realize that, the measure of the stature of Christ, until we come to that, everything on the outside of that is deception, disagreement, or dissension, or depression. So now this scripture lights up for me. It's no longer a duty. I'm no longer doing what I have to do. I'm reading about me. I'm finding myself. See, the only reason you don't manifest more is because you got some doubt in there. Because you still don't think that that's you. Listen. I got to make this statement. The moment that you stop believing in a God separate from you is when you begin to be him.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
You begin to function like the Father wants you to function. You begin to function like Christ. See, the problem is even sometime in our worship, we're doing this, and I have no problem with that, y'all. I'm not being lawful on that side of it, right? But we do this, and we're so busy doing this that we don't realize this. Sometimes I'll be singing worship on Sunday, and I have nothing. It's nothing. I'm not being legalistic or I'm not telling you don't put your hands. That's not what I'm saying. You got to get what I'm saying. That I have to make myself understand. So when I begin to tell him I love him, I tell him I love him. Because I'm not separate from him. I'll give you another one. You ready? What's the great commandment in the law? And what's the second one? So love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and soul. The second, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Or love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. Now it makes more sense you say you love him. Because I didn't know where myself fell in. I didn't know where myself fell in the equation until I realized that myself and God are myself. Wow. All right, y'all scared. All right, watch this. God is, he's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. And he's omniscient. Right? So, but this is, if he omnipresent, what does omnipresent mean? What does it mean to be omnipresent? What? No, say it. What does it mean for him to be omnipresent? So he can't be in me? Oh, he everywhere except in me, though.
Wow.
He, you know, we say he omnipresent when he's trying to find you doing something you ain't got no business. Right. You know, he everywhere, right? The enemy. It is the enemy that is fooling you with a sin consciousness. It's the enemy that's fooling you with a separated consciousness. Yeah. It's the enemy that's fooling you to get your mind to be in disagreement with the mind of Christ. Omnipresent, omnipresent, omniscient. That means he's all knowing, right? So what you confessing for then? When you confess, what you confessing for? No, I'm not saying don't confess. But what you confessing for? You can't be telling him nothing he don't know. Right? So who that confession for? Because you know the only God that condemns you is the God in you. Jesus said he did not send the Son of God in the world to condemn the world. My Father don't condemn you. So if there's a condemnation, who condemning you? You condemn yourself. You got the power to do that. And the enemy does that. That's why he tried to have you make you feel bad about that so you condemn yourself and get you to hold on so you condemn yourself. And then you begin to condemn yourself. You hear me? And then you begin to condemn yourself. Right? Ain't nobody else. So you get yourself together. You understand me? Because that's the only God that's condemning you. So now confession, you know, repent. I got to repent to somebody. You can't repent to nobody. Repent means, repent simply means in the Hebrew, to change your mind. How do you change your mind to somebody? That's for you. All that's identity. Change your mind. Okay, change my mind from what? From being separate to being connected. See, here's what Jesus stood out, because Jesus walked in knowing that I come from God. Ain't no question. Ain't nothing else in me but God. Right? And why he said the enemy coming out, but he ain't got nothing. That's why it's important. That's why it's important what you feed on.
Right.
And who you're talking to, who you let speak into your mind. Yeah. That's why Ephesians 4 is talking about the apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. It's important that you, that it's a bona fide fivefold ministry you give. Not because they call themselves something.
Right.
That's bona fide because all of their messages should be leading you to Christ.
Right. Yes, sir.
Not Christ. Christ. Come on, do it. Come on. Just for say, come on, Christ. Come on, Christ, Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. That Christ be formed in you. The scripture. What is it talking about? It's your identity. It's showing you. I'll give you another one. You ready? Jesus always referred to himself as the Son of God.
Right?
And you remember we said he talked in third person because you're the third person. Did we talk about that last time? Did we say that last time? That was cool, right? Yeah, I found out that he talked in third person so you could see yourself in person. I'll prove it. Until we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Why didn't say Jesus? So why didn't say until we all come into the unity of the faith and knowledge of Jesus? Why Jesus never said that about himself? Why he said, well, God didn't send Jesus in. You know why? Because if he'd have said Jesus, then it'd have gave you an excuse as Marvin. If you would have said Jesus, you'd have had an excuse to say, well, he's Superman. He can do all these things. Now I need to get him to come and do it. You do. Because you're the Christ. So that's why they start saying the Son of God. Because every time I see the Son of God, I see me now.
I see me.
Jesus talked in third person so you can see yourself in person. So this is what Jesus said. And I don't even know how you do it, but Jesus said, like, he the Son of God, but he said, look, the Son of God, he didn't send the Son of God in here to do this and this and that, right? And so all he did was moved out that place, right? He didn't move out the place, but he moved out the place so you could put yourself in that place. The Christ. So keep on talking about the life that I now live in the flesh and live by the faith of the Son of God. You get it? I'm crucified with Jesus? No. I'm crucified with? Oh. So where does Jesus fall? In the name of Jesus. Well, y'all think that's hocus pocus. Y'all think in the name of Jesus and Alexander the same thing, so you end your prayers with it. And you don't even know that the name means the character. So at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall. That means at the character that Jesus characterized himself and walked in that same character, in that same way of functioning, in that same way of thinking. What is that way of thinking? That I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, right? In that same character, every knee. Them that call on the name of the Lord. Them that call on the name of Jesus. The character. Are y'all understanding? Yeah. It's not your prayer. It's not your cute little. How many times? I question. I'm about to ask y'all this before. I'm going to ask you right now. How many times you pray something in the name of Jesus ain't nothing happen? Y'all don't want to answer me right now. How many times? Come on. Y'all, you ain't doing nothing to God. God is pleased. You ain't making him mad by what you about to say right now. He ain't going to get mad at you. How many times you prayed and then you ended it in the name of Jesus and ain't no blessing happen? And so we kind of, they that wait on the Lord. Or we give ourselves excuse. Or we give ourselves, maybe my faith wasn't there. Or maybe, no. You ain't know what you was talking about. When I pray in the character of Jesus. Well, how is that? Well, I don't pray my will, but thy will be done. When you pray after this manner. Our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As it is in heaven. Give us this day. Our debt, forgive us our debts, and we forgive our debtors. Lead us not to the day, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. If you pray like that, you never have to worry about confusing yourself with the Most High. Because thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Are y'all listening to me? This thing, this scripture, these red words are telling you about who you are. This is living by the book. This book is showing you your life. You ain't nothing outside of Christ. That's it. That's who you are. Cool. I know your name. Listen, say your name. Cool. That's cool. That's for us to identify each other right here. Cool. Don't walk around and call me, hey, Christ. Don't be doing that. Don't be calling. Don't do that because they're going to crucify you. Just like him. As sure as my name, my trail, I already know. They're going to string you up. Y'all know that. I know a couple of them will come get me right now. Right. But you Christ. Yes, I am Christ. Say it. Y'all, hold on. Say it.
I am Christ. Say it. I am Christ.
You got to tell yourself that. You got to say it over against you until you're not scared to say it. So you're a little nervous right now because you think you're doing Jesus a disservice. What was he talking about? When he say, as I'm in the Father and the Father in me, you be in me and I in you. What was he talking about? He's talking about connection. You have to get rid of the separated consciousness. That separated consciousness, I said again, happened in the beginning. Good and evil cause a separation in your consciousness. So that's when you partook of that tree, you was able to be separated in your consciousness. And all Jesus was doing was bringing it back to the one. Bringing it back to the unity. Bring it back to the unity of the faith. Are y'all understanding me? until you come. That scripture says, until you come to that unity, you need to it's one law, one faith, one God, one law, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who's above all, and in all, and through you all. In John 1, it said, there was not, he lighted all men that came into the world. That means all the men that came into the world had a piece of light. When I'm going witness, I ain't tell y'all this last week, a great witnessing is to tell people, hey, listen, you Christ already, you just don't know it. See, last time you witnessed, you like, do you know Jesus? No. Y'all scared to witness like that? Hey, you got a problem, somebody's gonna talk to you, people randomly talk to you, whatever. Hey, here's the situation. You Christ already, but you don't know it. You got to sit down and talk to me. You got to sit down. What? You going to sit down and run?
Right.
You got to sit down and have that conversation.
Right.
And it's funny that I'm having that conversation because I'm not telling you all the things you got to get right.
Right. That's the truth.
That's right.
Right. No
condemnation. You go read them red words. Some of y'all gonna stay up late tonight reading the thing. No, because it's gonna change. It's gonna change. It's changing because now you're looking different. You get it? You're not looking on the outside. You're not on the outside looking in.
I'm looking different. Okay.
Amen.